Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church coming out on this kind of gray, rainy morning. But we're here to worship God, and I hope we can put anything that may be troubling us in our lives, bothering us, behind us, so we can focus on God and let His Holy Spirit speak to us. A few announcements. Session Council meeting will be held Monday, February the 9th. At 7 o'clock, this is a special meeting of session. Been doing a lot of thinking about our church growth, where we need to be headed. And so I talked to Doug Ports at Presbytery, really wonderful man. He has our North Branch of Pittsburgh Presbytery where we meet. We had a long conversation. And then at the session meeting, I talked to Session about it. So we're going to invite Doug to come talk to us for about an hour and a half on February the 9th. And then we might have a little bit of our session meeting and then have the regular scheduled one. So I hope that you'll be in prayer for this. Doug is really good at guiding churches, seeing a church, our church, maybe the way that we cannot see it because we're here all the time and our view may be different. So for vision and for missions and just all kind of things, we'll talk to him and see if he's someone that we would like to work with. If not, there's some other avenues. I hope that you'll be in prayer about that. Offering envelopes are in the back, and remind you that per capita is $27.85 per member. Sign up for scripture readers. Teachers needed for junior church, nursery care each Sunday next door. The library is available as a crying or a coughing room, and then you can read about the weather hotline. At this time, I'll call Heather to come forward. She has a minute for mission for us. And we thank her for all the teaching she's been doing for the junior church.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My church family, I am going to solicit for our young junior church members. In junior church, we have been trying to follow along with the sermon that Leonard has that's going on here so that there can be communication between the little ones and the parents and the grandparents, aunts and uncles, moms and dads, as well as other church family members. We have three, big projects that we're going to try in junior church. One is that the junior church members, I'm hoping, are going to be mentored by our youth. We don't have a youth group. Be mentored by the youth and come in and make prayer chain bracelets for all the members of the church. And as we move towards Easter, we're going to be working on the rebirth and doing some things with butterflies and tissue paper. And then as spring approaches, where we all want the warmer weather coming, we're going to go out hopefully and garden. And they're going to create some garden plots, and that includes making signs. So if you hear of anything here that you have a talent in or you can help in, we would love that help. And I'm not talking a whole entire class or three classes right in a row. I'm talking 15 minutes here, 20 minutes here. Maybe make a sketch on a wooden plaque so then the kids can go and paint later. Because I think we're having a lot of fun in junior church, and we welcome anybody to join us. Thank you.
Thank you. And while Heather's going back to her seat, she mentioned youth group. Session spoke the other night about youth groups, so we're trying to work on some ideas and possibly see if we can get youth groups started back again. Of course, we'll be looking for teachers, and we talked about maybe starting it out as once a month and see how it goes from there. So please be in prayer for that. And maybe you'd like to work with the youth. And like I said, once a month, that's not an overwhelming task. So if you would, you can speak to me or B.J. Morrison about it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, 66, to God be the glory.
Thank you.
worship continue with the prayer of confession, which you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father,
we thank you for listening to our prayers. We praise you for speaking to us through the Scriptures. We are awed when you engage us in a still, small voice. Forgive us when we do not listen to your guidance. Forgive us when we do not take the time to meditate on your word. Give us the desire to read our Bibles. Guide us into a closer relationship with you. Help us to find your will for our lives. Lead us down the path that will cause Glenshaw Valley to grow in every aspect. Help us hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Once again, reaffirm our faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment to greet one another.
Thank you.
Responsive reading, Psalm 19 and Hymnal 693. Psalm 19, 693. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, in keeping them is great reward.
Who can discern his errors? Forbid my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression.
Together, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This time I invite Elder on the door to come forth.
We have three prayer requests today. The first is from Arlie for her mother, Libs McDonald. Libs has been moved to a South Hills facility. Please provide continued prayers for peace and comfort for Libs. Next is from Lynn Love. Thank you so much for all the cards, the thoughts, and the prayers during the difficult time losing my dad. I don't know what I would do without the love of my church family. Love you guys. And finally, for Mickey, our church organist, her mother passed away this week, so please keep Mickey and her family in your prayers.
As we go to the Lord in prayer, let's remember Glenshaw Valley and some of the things that we'll be trying to do, and asking for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead us in all of our decisions and our coming together in worship. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day because we need you. You are our strength. You are our source of knowledge. You speak to us, and sometimes we listen, oftentimes we don't. We go on our own way, too busy to meditate, too busy to read the scriptures, to listen for what you might be trying to say to our spirit, to our mind, our whole being. Help us calm down sometime and just listen, because I know that you will guide us, you will help us, you'll give us your compassion, your empathy, and your strength. So we come together today as the congregation of Christ here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, lifting one another up in prayer, speaking words that edify the body of Christ, one another, to build them up, to help them find peace and strength and a sense of security in their lives. So we lift all of us up before you, but we do lift specifically the ones who have been mentioned, ones listed in the bulletin, the valley, that you continue to touch their lives in the way that they need to be touched. You're a great and mighty and awesome God. We are your children. Help us to be obedient, loving, kind, faithful, prayerful. Lead us down the paths of righteousness. Help us to be the men and women, the boys and girls that you have called us to be. Help what we do be in love. Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful examples throughout Scripture, people going through trials and tribulations. We also thank you for the disciples and most of all for Jesus Christ, of what he did for us. Then he left us this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is Open Our Eyes. It's a short song. You may or may not know it, but sing it like you do. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. For we thank you that he was put into the grave, that death could not hold him. In 3 days he rose. Then later he ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand in power and glory. So we worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We come together today to worship, not just because it is a place to be, but because you are here among us. We come to revive ourselves, to be edified, to be lifted up, and lay our whole lives at your feet. And part of that is giving of our tithes and our offerings, financial gifts. But it is more than that. It is giving of our very self, who we are as human beings, and the gifts that you've endowed us with, that we can bless the church, bless the kingdom of God, and be a blessing to you. Thank you for those who use their gifts, those who are still struggling. Speak to them. Let them know that they do have gifts that can be used in your kingdom. We pray in the precious name of Christ our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Good morning, Glenshaw Valley family.
Good morning.
So I'm going to be reading a scripture today. It's from 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. And I just saw it for the first time this morning, so I don't have much of a lead-in, but I'll just read it. So the Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
Thank you, Jen. You never know, you just saw it.
Sounds like my house calling Samuel.
I want to thank Mike for telling me to put up the scripture. I'm staring right at it, don't have it up. Just get a brain freeze sometimes. But if that ever happens, somebody let me know, please. Thank you. A New York columnist set out to prove that no one really listens to what other people are saying, especially somewhere like a cocktail party. He says that when he was invited to such a party, he always arrives late. When he arrived late for one party and explained why he was late to the hostess, he said, "I had to stop along the way and murder my mistress, and it took a little longer than I thought." Without blinking an eye, the hostess said she understood perfectly. "I was almost late myself. Everyone is quite busy. Enjoy yourself and have a good time." Nobody listens, even to people who are important to us. A young woman tells a time her father went on a 3-week vacation to London, and he called her one evening just to check on her, see how she was doing, if everything was okay. And the phone line had static on it. We've all been through that, or the home phones or cell phones. For the life of her, she said she didn't recognize the voice, but she heard the person on the other end of the phone that was speaking with her saying, "Hey, hon, all is well." And she responded back positively, but still not realizing who she was talking to. Her grandmother saw the puzzled look on the granddaughter's face and asked her, "What's wrong?" And the girl explained that someone just called me checking up on me, but I have no clue of who it is. Her grandmother asked if it was male. She said, "Yes, it was a male voice." Then her grandmother asked what the person's exact words were. Then her grandmother said, "Honey, that's your father. Don't you recognize your father's voice?" Well, I expect some of us, maybe all of us, have been stumped at one time or another when somebody calls us and didn't identify themselves and we didn't realize who it was on the phone. Even though my voice is very distinct, especially for here, I always say, "This is Leonard." Just maybe you forgot my name, you'll know. I know I do that. That happened once to a young boy named Samuel. It wasn't a phone call, and it wasn't a static line. He simply heard a voice in the night. He was living in the temple of Shiloh. It was the late hours of the night, and the writer of the book of 1 Samuel responds to the lamp, or reports that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Now that could mean a couple of things. It might mean simply that it happened late at night. The only light in the temple was a candle burning high up in the temple ceiling, and it was still burning, but it was obviously to the point that it was starting to flicker and about to go out. On the other hand, this phrase could have symbolic meaning. Maybe it has both. Eli the high priest was at an advanced age. He was nearly blind, and his sons were in line to take his place to be in charge of the temple. But they were scoundrels who abused their roles as priests. They were not the type that should go and be priests in the temple. They were moral misfits. They had no business talking or taking over the temple duties. So the writer may be saying that even though the worship of God at Shiloh was not what it should be, God was still in the dwelling place. His divine presence was still there. He had not removed himself from the temple or from the people of Israel at this time, even though his presence to the people might be rather dim. Whatever that phrase means, Samuel heard a voice, the voice of the Lord. And you recall that Samuel was in the temple because of a promise that his mother had made. Hannah, his mother, was one of the two wives of a man. This is a situation that seems to occur often in the Old Testament. The other wife, named Peninnah, was had a lot of babies. I couldn't get that word out. But Hannah could not seem to get pregnant no matter what. And Peninnah taught Hannah unmercifully, or taunted her and teased her about it, as people can be so cruel sometimes. Hannah would weep and pray passionately that God would give her a child. Her husband would try to reassure her. He would say, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons would mean to you?" His reassurance, however, fell on deaf ears to her. One day Hannah was at the temple of Shiloh. She was on her knees praying fervently for a child. It was then that she made a promise to God. "Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you." She was moving her lips without making any sound as she prayed. Eli, watching her pray so passionately, moving her lips but making no sound, thought that maybe she's drunk. So he said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my Lord. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine nor beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant, your wife, as a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and my great grief." And Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the Lord God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then, says the writer, she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. And the Lord did give Hannah the desire of her heart. They named him Samuel, which means, "I begged from the Lord." And after he was weaned, Hannah placed Samuel under the care of the elderly priest Eli in the temple of Shiloh to fulfill the promise that she had made to God. A lot of people would pray, they get that child, and then, well, forget about it, and they go on their way, but not her. Now, some years later, Samuel is about 11 or 12 years old. He's lying in the bed in the house of the Lord late at night, and he hears a voice calling him. Samuel assumed that the voice belonged to Eli the priest. You can imagine that Eli, being almost blind, would call on Samuel quite often to do things for him and assist him, especially as he grew older and he grew weaker in his health. So Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and he lay down. Again the voice said, "Samuel." Now if this were some of us, we would either be frightened or we would be upset, because we don't like to be bothered when we're asleep. We want to get that good night's sleep. But Samuel simply got up and went to Eli again and said, "Here I am. You called me." And Eli said, "My son, I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Then the writer explains a very key component to his story. He says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Here Samuel is under the direct tutelage of Eli the priest all his young life, and yet he still did not know the Lord. A third time the voice called, "Samuel." And then Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli, in his wisdom, realized that he was hearing the voice of the Lord calling out to him. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls your name out again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as of the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is a very beautiful story that many of us learn as children. And it's an important story. Samuel would later become a judge of Israel and one of the most important prophets. In fact, he was the last of Israel's judges and the first of the prophets as it changed. It was Samuel who anointed both King Saul and King David to the throne. He had an important role to play in the Old Testament. He played that role thanks to his mother's promise and to his own openness to the voice of God. And of course, we are interested in what the story of Samuel means for each of us. It reminds us of the importance of listening to God and listening also, I believe, to one another. Most of us will not be hearing mysterious voices in the night. At least I hope not. But I did read recently, according to recent research, the experience of hearing voices is not all that unusual. Estimates suggest that more than half of the normal population have heard strange voices at some point in their life, while about 4% of the population hears voices on a regular basis. Mental health professions usually define hearing voices as a symptom of a mental illness. And I would suggest that if this is happening to you on a regular basis and you hear a voice from the outside, you need to consult a physician or if you know someone that is going through that. However, many people who hear voices are able to live with them and may consider them a positive part of their life experience. You've ever seen the television show Perception, I think it's on TNT or something like that, where the main character is schizophrenic, and he hears voices and sees people, and he talks to them, and they're not really there. Sometimes these voices help him solve the crime. Many people hear voices and never find a problem in their life. You may think you've never experienced this, but I want to ask you, are you sure? You may have had the experience of hearing someone call your name only to look around and there's no one there. Research shows that especially for recently bereaved people, it is not uncommon to hear the voice of someone they loved after they are deceased. Hearing voices does not necessarily mean that you've got a problem, but certainly it can, especially if those voices, and here's the real kicker, if it tells you to do something to harm yourself or someone else, that is not the voice that you should be listening to. It's important to note that when God speaks, it is rarely in an audible voice. That can happen, but that's not the normal way for God to speak to us. You remember the story of 1 Kings about a prophet named Elijah who told by the Lord to wait on the mountaintop. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. God sometimes speaks through a gentle whisper. Generally, God speaks in the quietness of our own hearts if we're listening. Rabbi Bert Iskoski, in the Bill Moyers PBS discussion on Genesis, at one point says this. "You know, I'm actually surprised by people. I'm actually surprised to be surrounded by people who do not readily hear voices. I'm a praying Jew, so I talk to God all the time. But I don't usually hear answers. It's a much more subtle presence to me. God may tell Abraham and Sarah to get up and go and change everything about their lives. But nobody ever says that to me. If I hear God at all, it's similar times reading the lines of a page I've been studying for hours when I'm reading the Torah, the scriptures, and all I ever hear is, 'Bert, turn the page. You've been there too long.' And that's the way it is for most of us. God often speaks to us without words. He speaks to us through our life experiences. He speaks to us through the silence of our own thoughts after time of laying out and praying to Him and then sitting quietly before Him. That's the importance of prayer. We come before God with our needs and our concerns, letting Him know. God already knows those concerns before we announce them, before we go to Him in prayer. But it's still important that we bring those prayer requests and our needs to Him. Then it's important that we pause and wait for a few moments to see if God has something to say to us. Remember, God has concerns too. There may be concerns about how we are living our lives. And He may want to speak to you about something specific in your life, tailored just for you. It may be about someone in your family who needs your attention, needs your help. It may be about something that needs to be done in the church or in the community. Give God a chance to speak. Take time in prayer to listen to God. It's also important that we take time to listen to one another, particularly in the family. Mark Merrill writes about a family relationship. He was writing recently about multitasking. He says that multitasking can be a good thing, but when it comes to relationships, multitasking may not be so good. He was sitting with his family in the room and asked his daughter a question about a friend of hers. Without looking at him, she gave him one-word answer and started doing something else. And then he asked her if she was listening to him. She said, "Yes, I'm listening. I'm just multitasking." I can imagine her on a smartphone. Later explained to her that he felt unimportant to her when she did not give him her full attention when they were talking. Then he thought, "I wonder how many times I have done the same thing to her." We all know what he's talking about. We rarely give each other our full attention. Two men were talking over coffee one day, and one said, "I'm concerned about my wife. She talks to herself a lot these days." The other man says, "Well, mine does too. But she just doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening." Ooh. All been there. No one in this room will be surprised if I say that the biggest complaint of women, "He doesn't listen to me." I'm not going to ask for any hands. It's important when someone is speaking to us, we're in a conversation with them, particularly with someone that we love, that we look them in the eyes as a signal that we're giving them our full attention. How many times have you tried to have a conversation with somebody and they're literally doing this? It's not the way to make someone feel loved, that you're giving them respect and your full attention. Arthur Bruce Lawson once put it like this: "One of the greatest gifts that God can give us is a life, is the gift of listening." You ever thought about that as being a gift? To listen to what someone has to say. Maybe they're unburdening themselves. Doesn't matter what it is. Listening is the key to success and perhaps the survival of relationships. I'm convinced that every year many businesses will fail, not because their product is faulty, they may have a wonderful product, but because management and co-workers are not listening to one another, and they're not listening to their customers and what the customers outside want. I'm convinced that every year marriages fail because two people, even though intimate in their love, do not know how to listen to one another. Even the one who looks so strong and adequate may be trying to communicate, "Help me. I'm feeling lonely. I'm feeling frightened. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn." Every year there are parents and children who become disconnected because they cannot put their feelings into words. Family members are good at speaking past the family, the person, and then that family relationship begins to diminish. Listening may be the most important sign of love. Samuel listened to the voice of the Lord, and he became a great man. We will become greater men and women if we too listen for the voice of the Lord speaking to us. And it's equally important that we listen to one another. It's also important that we listen to those who do not attend church. And there are thousands of them in our community. And I think we need to find out why they're not attending church. And even specifically, why aren't they attending Glenshaw Valley? How can we meet their needs and make church relevant to them and worship together with a sense of joy? How can we do that? The Lord came and stood there, calling at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And I ask you in closing, as an individual, are you listening for God to speak to you, to give you direction, what He wants for your individual life? Maybe to correct something in your life. Maybe to push you forward in a certain area of your life. Are you listening to one another as a family? I know it's very hard to do sometimes. And are we listening to God as the church here at Glenshaw Valley and what He wants us to do and what He wants to be? Are we listening to God? May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, 411, "The Joy of the Lord." Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.